Spectacular Diagnostics.
Hello and welcome to the preview show. It is the opening weekend of the season. It is Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, and I am delighted to be joined by Edward Toons of Lidl Trek. Edward, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back. It's been a long time that I was in the show, so it's super nice to do it again.
Mr. Loyal, definitely the most on the preview show, I would say.
What, wasn't I the first guy who you guys
you
did it with?
Were one of the first guys.
One of the first, yeah.
I think Greg Henderson might have been the first, but you were not far off back in your TalkSport Flandering days.
When I was still young and I had some more hair.
You've lost hair. I've got grey. Luckily for people on the podcast, they can't see us, so it's okay. Right, so it's the opening weekend. We have cold, 3 degrees, 4 degrees. We have a little bit of rain. We've got wind 25k up to 30k an hour. Immediately when I see that, I think it's going to be a selective race, you know, more selective probably than usual. Do you agree that just purely based on the weather, it's going to be tough?
Yeah, I think they predict quite some wind. So I think that will be a very important factor during the race. Obviously, if it would rain a bit, it would make it only even harder. But yeah, I think the parkour and the wind can already bring quite some damage to the race.
Now, early on, we have seen a couple of editions where there's been some action in the kind of the early stages of the race, but normally that would come back together. It kind of happened last year as well. There's been previous years where it's been rainy. I think the break was caught really super early one year, like 100k in when it was a rainy edition. But normally we're looking at from maybe the Wolvenberg onwards has been where it's going to start kind of getting tough. So I'm going to focus in on the last 67 kilometers. And of interest to me is this road as you approach, like, so on this kind of southern side, you are coming up through these little villages, heading towards Oudenaarde. I assume you know this road, Edward. With the wind is going to be crosswind at this point. Is it open enough to cause issues?
I think it is open enough, but I don't really expect that teams will play their full cards there, because I think the positioning before the Wolvenberg is quite important. So I think it would, if a team really plays all or nothing there, they really have a, I mean, if it goes, the better for them. But if it doesn't go, I think then they played all their cards before the race is opening. So I think it will be hard to do positioning. The wind will make it very hard for positioning, but I don't think it will be a really like organized echelon road over there.
And then we've got nice, tight, narrow roads. And then, of course, usually one of the key points of the race is the approach to the Molenberg.
Yeah.
This year, yeah, it will be into headwind, so even harder.
Yeah, that's a big point in the race. I think the wind is going to play a big part. I think you have headwind, like you say, towards the Molenberg, which makes the positioning, yeah, not so easy, because on the last road, which you are showing now, there you can still gain a lot of positions coming from out of the wind. While if the wind would be different, it would be all lined out, and now it will be more in a bubble. So it will make the positioning quite hard. And also, I think after the Molenberg, going a little bit up towards last time Haaghoek is also headwind. So I think it can close the race a little bit, the wind direction we have there, between those sections of climbs and cobbles.
So Molenberg is, you know, for most people, It's kind of a very, very important point. In fact, probably you will know at this point if you're not going to win the race. You already know that your legs aren't good enough. And then over the top, it can split. Last year, it did split, but then it came back. I mean, crucially, once over the top of Molenberg and you turn right, you're onto a very narrow road. It's going to be a crosswind. But then, as you explained, you turn right at the end of that stretch. And you're back into a strong headwind.
Yeah.
Yep.
It makes the time to really make a difference quite small. If you see Molenberg is quite short, you have a bit the part going out of it, which is a false flat with, like you say, crosswind open, but it's a super hard part. It will be really hard, but like you say, if you have headwind after that, the chance is always big that some smaller groups come back together and they will have to restart the race a bit on the next point where it gets harder with cobbles or climbs. So I think for sure selection will be made on Molenberg, but I think the chance is quite big that quite some groups come together after it
And
also.
then we've got Hakuk goes into Lieberg. And as you say, if what's really interesting for me watching the race is if the front group hasn't really established by that point, by the time we get to Berendries, it kind of changes the type of rider who can be at the front. Berendries has always been the climb for, not really the climbers, but you're kind of more classic puncheurs. I remember Tige going up there very, very fast previous years. Pidcock, riders like that can make a big difference on this climb if it's not split up. Like I'm thinking Alaphilippe, somebody like that, they much prefer this type of climb, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's also a bit, I think, the tiredness already in the legs, because you've had already quite some sections before that. You had the Molenberg where the race opens a bit, so everybody starts to put more pressure on the pedals, and then we come on those last couple of climbs like Berendries and the little climb after that, which is on asphalt. But I think with the tiredness already in the legs from the previous section, like you say, the guys who are more like climber type of classic riders, they have a bit of an advantage because they can tolerate the high power for a long time. And like you say, Tiche is very good on a climb like this. Also Pidcock, I think they are both guys who are really good climbing out of the saddle, which is also better on these climbs than on the cobbles. So I think, like you say, that's for them a strength.
And then
Yeah.
crucially, a long section of kind of what's the wind going to be doing here? Kind of cross headwind again after Vossenhall, all the way down to Gerritsbergen. So if you are in a front group, it's hard, very hard to keep away from a chasing bunch, depending on the size of the peloton, I would imagine. And then
This
that
is the
would.
thing, all will depend on the organization there is in a peloton, how big is it? How many guys have teammates? That's always a big challenge.
Now, most people are focusing on Visma because they arrive with seven riders, Affini to one side, because he obviously will probably have to do work for about 100, 120K if he can. And then they've got six riders who could potentially win the race. Van Aert, Tiege, Laporte, Trattnik, Van Baarle. They've got a super strong team. You guys come in, you guys have got Stuyven and Jonathan Milan as your two leaders. How, obviously, you've not had your chat about tactics, but how hard is it to race against a team who have so many potential leaders?
Yeah, I
How
mean,
will you beat them?
yeah, it's not so easy. I hope to hear that tomorrow night from our directors, but yeah, in my opinion, it's not easy. I mean, you always know if they can send people to the front and all the guys they will put in the front, they have a option to win the race, they will be strong enough. So I think to ride against a team like that, you just if you see guys of them joining breakaways, you also have to try to put somebody in the breakaway, at least to be represented there as a team. And then, like you say, for us, Jasper and Jonathan are the leaders. So I think Jasper is going pretty strong at the moment. He was quite good, so I think he can be confident to do a good race. And I think for him, I hope for him he can be in a position to win the race until the Mur, and I think he's quite good on the Mur. So if they open it again for the last time on the Mur, I think he has a good chance of being in a good group if it goes to the finish. And I think maybe with Jonathan, he's younger, he has less experience. I think if he can sit on, I mean, for sure he will have to do big efforts, but he doesn't really have to carry the race. And if he can sit on as long as possible, and I mean, he's fast, they will have to drop him because he's quite a strong guy, I've noticed already.
And obviously he started the season, you guys started the season with a very good win down in Spain, down in Valenciana. He probably it was a surprise that his former team let him go after winning the sprint jersey in Giro. He, as you said, he's super strong. He's a very good climber, even though he's a tall, big guy. Last year he was actually in the break with Van Baarle, but wasn't strong enough to cope when he put the pressure on. I think he was in there with Vermeersch and Liberi, who went quite a long way. Now, once we get to the Muir, obviously it all kicks off. Last year, even with Van Baarle away, I think it was Velens, Mohoric, Arnaud Delys, who were the best on the Muir that time. Looking at it, you've mentioned Stuyven is good on Muir as well. Who do you think, if you're looking at the riders who are in this race, aside from your team, you know, somebody like Arnaud Delys, do you think it's possible for him to win?
I think for sure, if you look how he was last year, it's possible. For me, a bit of the question is, like, he had a really different approach this year. He did a altitude camp in Tenerife. I don't know actually if he was ever before on an altitude camp. So depends how he will cope with it, how he will be there. But for sure, I think if he's there, he's one of the strongest guys. I would also not underestimate Jasper Philipsen. I think it's his first race, but he's a strong guy. He knows what he's doing. I think also his team is taking like they choose to do the approach like they do it now. So I would not be surprised if he will also be pretty good on Saturday.
He's a very interesting and good pick. Yeah, obviously he was so good at Paris-Roubaix last season. I remember him coming through as an under 23. He always spoke of wanting to do well in this type of race. He's now dominated Tour de France sprints last season, and most certainly he can climb the hills involved in this race. But I think, yeah, you're right to point out it's his first race. You just don't really know. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever started here first race of season?
I think I've done it. I think I've done 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, I've done an altitude camp and then straight to no opening weekend.
What's that like compared to racing before?
For me, I think it's a good approach, but I always feel better with racing before. Not only for me, it's not really for the like the form or whatever, but more for being again into the racing mode, getting used to riding aggressive in the bunch and stuff like that. For me, it always I need a bit of time sometimes to get into the racing mode. And then if you come immediately in a classic race like Omloop, you have to be there from the first minute to fight for your spot. And I think this was for me the hardest when I didn't have race days before the opening weekend. Also to have a little bit of confidence, like for yourself to, I mean, if you start the season, you always have some question marks in your head, and you can do some races. Often a lot of those question marks are already solved or gone. So, but for me, for big guys like Dalí, like Philipsen, I think they, for sure, they are a bit different. They have the confidence in their mind. They know how they work towards a goal. They do everything with a reason. So, I think that they will be good.
And then crucially, from Bosberg, Tailwind, any group that's off the front is going to be very hard to catch. We see it many times before. The guys who are chasing, they are cooked. And the guy or guys who are at the front of the race are the strongest. So if you've got a gap over the Bosberg, goodbye.
Yeah, normally if you're dropped, you're not the guy to pull things back. So I agree. Like the really final, the wind is very positive for a group to go. And I think before, like I said, from Molenbeek on, there are some sections with the headwind, which maybe, in my opinion, will make the race closed really, really a long time. But when it opens, I think you will suddenly see a big gap opening up, and yeah, then you can keep it going in the final 15K or 10K because the wind is on the good side.
Yeah, because the year we had a sprint, the year Ballerini won, that was headwind for almost the whole way after the Muir, I think, and it helped to contain the race. One thing Visma will have to deal with is the lack of a Nathan van Hooydonk, who last year was simply unbelievable in these races. Not only extremely powerful, but very fast. So on these crucial sections, crucial turns, van Hooydonk would often be the rider guiding the whole squad into play. And looking at their team now, that's where I think they're vulnerable. They don't have a new Nathan van Hooydonk, probably because it's hard to find a new Nathan van Hooydonk. So I think that's where they could be a
That's,
little bit vulnerable.
yeah, it's true, but I think on the other hand, they have so many good riders. I don't really think parkour will be a problem for them. I mean, you could say that one of the strengths of Van Hooydonk was also that he's a Flemish guy, so he knows the road better. I guess these days they all do their homework, they study the parkour, they do recons. For sure, they will miss him because he was a designated guy to do this job. And maybe now it will take a bit more direction from somebody to say, hey, do this now or do that now, and to point somebody out. But yeah, I think they will anyway be strong enough
Right.
as a team.
Prediction time, Edward. You are not allowed to choose a rider from your own team. That would be unfair. So, apart from your own team, who do you think will win the Om Loop?
I put my guess on maybe a bit of a surprise because I don't like to pick favorites, but for me, I would say Jasper Philipsen.
Oh, away from Visma too.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is Van Aert scared of winning here with the not, nobody goes on to win Flanders after winning here? Is he scared of the history books?
I don't think so because they also skip Paris-Nice and Tirreno to do an altitude camp. So the approach they do is really different also than the history books and probably a well-thought preparation. So I don't think Wout will be scared. I think maybe the contrary, he will want to prove that it is possible to win both in the same year.
My pick will be Jan Tratnik. I think third in Wout Aert Gav for a rider like him as, you know,
He was impressive.
that's
Yeah,
a
he was
sensational
impressive.
result. So
I agree, he was very impressive, but I still think with leaders like Wout van Aert, he will have to count on a good moment to take an advantage. And I think with the headwind there is, it's quite hard. I think a moment for Trapnik would be after Molenbeek, but there you have a lot of headwind. Or the section, I think Van Baarle went also last year up to last time Haaghoek, which is also like a good moment in between to go, but also there it's a headwind. So I think the conditions are maybe not in favor for a guy in his position in his team. But I agree, he was super strong, so for sure he has a chance.
okay, Kerner, Brussels, Kerner on the Sunday. Now,
Yep.
it looks a horrible race. Is it a horrible race to ride? Always chasing them, like just.
Last year I didn't ride it, so I did a recon a couple of weeks ago of the part that I don't really know, which is more the French speaking part of the race. And I have to say, I found it quite hard parkour. So I
Including
think
this.
it's quite underestimated. They always see it a bit as the chance for the sprinters in the opening weekend, but I think you still have to be up there and quite strong because it's a very demanding course.
Super hard. This, I mean, it's changed from probably the last time you've ridden it, when it was the Quarmont from far out.
Yeah.
And race would split, and then we would have the kind of cat and mouse chase, and then we get into Kerner, and then we've seen small gaps just stay there for it's like it always seems so hard to close the last 5 seconds. Thinking back to the year Asgreen won, and he just sat in front for so long. Now, did you recon this little beauty of a climb?
Of course,
Saint
I also know
Laurent.
it quite well. We've done it in quite some races already before. It's a hard one. It's quite short, but it's a hard one. But I think the follow-up of climbs is quite it's a lot of climbs on a short distance. And I think if they want to make a race, they really can make a race.
So we've got, as you say, one, two, three, four, five, six climbs in a very, very short space of time. Probably not quite finished off. Second last climb is the Côte du
Yeah.
Trio, the Nöcktberg. So one thing I've always wanted to ask: some races it's Côte du Trio, some races it's Nöcktberg. What's the story?
Because it's on the border with the French-speaking part and the Dutch-speaking part, the Côte du Trieu is the French name, and the Knokteberg is the Flemish or Dutch name of the climb. But even like I'm a Flemish guy and I also say to you, so
It sounds nicer than the
think
Nöcktberg.
most people call it like short to you because it sounds nice.
So last year we had a small group, I think maybe five riders. Again, Jumbo at that point had two. They had Van Hooydonk and Tiess, who went on to win. The chasing group couldn't quite get back. Weather-wise this year, again, we're looking cold, kind of 4 or 5 degrees, maybe some rain. A little bit of wind, not as strong as Saturday. You've just mentioned they talk about it as being a sprinter's race, but we don't get too many sprints. I think Pedersen was the last to win here in a sprint finish, and that was a super tough day. Super windy. It wasn't an easy day. And then, as I assume, what must be hard is racing here after a hard Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. But it's also a second chance in the opening weekend, so the guys who were disappointed can do an effort to try to make it up, and the guys who were good on Saturday for sure have big morale to be also good on Sunday. So I think anyway, everybody's fully motivated, even though there's a hard race of Saturday in the legs. And I also think that a lot of guys do the double, not so many guys skip one race and do the other. And I think, yeah, in modern cycling, I mean, I will not say you can do this 7 days in a row, but to do it 2 days, I think the we are well trained enough. We do everything to have the best recovery and stuff like that. So I think it's a hard day, but it's a hard day like another hard day. Even though it's if it would be also separate from the Saturday race, I think it would not change a lot in the results.
And I think most people would look at this in terms of your own team and think this is a good chance for Jonathan Milan.
Yes, I agree. I think he's, like I said, he's a strong guy. He can survive quite a lot. And if it do comes to a sprint, I hope we are still there with a couple guys to give him a good clear road to sprint. And he's a tough guy. He has a good sprint. We'll see. He's still young, obviously. So we'll see what it gives. But I'm quite confident that he will do good.
And normally, the rider who wins Saturday doesn't win Sunday. It's been a very long time since somebody has done the double. I think it depends on the type of rider who wins Saturday, especially as Van Aert's doing both. As you said, he's maybe wanting to prove a point.
Yeah, for sure. He's a guy who can do it. If you see how he won the bunch sprint in Algarve, it's pretty impressive to do with not so many. I mean, of course, he had help from his teammates, but he didn't really have a lead out like other teams had there. And I think he has a chance always. He can finish solo and he can win a bunch sprint in Kuurne on Sunday. So I think he can do it, but of course, a lot comes with circumstances, like how does the race go? You cannot have bad luck. What does do his teammates do? Because if a guy like Trotnik is in front, of course, it also prevents him from winning. So yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Did you watch his sprint back in Algarve?
Yes, I did.
So you're right. Vermot guided him to like 5K to go or something, and then he's by
I
himself.
know because they were next to
And then he's by himself, and then obviously he loses position, and then
I
all of
mean,
a
it's not
sudden
gonna.
left-hand side he
It's.
just makes the move.
I'm not gonna say he's lucky, but he. I mean, if he would be unlucky, because the race towards that left corner is also quite a big pull to be in front. And I mean, if you're alone and you're unlucky and you get blocked a bit, he could never pull it off. But I mean, he had the good wave and the bunch, which made him be in a good position. But still, from there on, it's quite a hard sprint. Also, you know, it's a little dragging uphill, and I think Gerben Theessen was launched quite well, and he has a lot of power. So to come from his wheel was quite good.
In terms of lucky sprints, I've just finished watching Tim Merlier in UAE Tour, and that's twice now. It's just perfectly, somebody has perfectly
Opening.
just done a long sprint in front of him. He has the speed to finish it off. I'm not saying he's not an incredibly good sprinter, but he is so lucky.
Yeah, but sometimes when you're good, the luck comes automatically. It's funny because Van Aanberg is actually his lead-off guy, and we were together in Top Swat Sanren. And I remember that Beth was also trying to get me lead out back then, and he always said something like, "Eddie, the sea will open up in front of you. The sea will open up." And then you just go for it. And sometimes you have days like this that the sea is opening for you and you have a clear way. And then if you have a sprint like Merlier has, because also I saw his values on Velon or
Yeah.
something. And I mean, I think 12 seconds over 1300 watts is an impressive sprint. I mean, it's like you say, you need a bit of luck of that the gap opens on the right time, but not everybody can do a sprint like that, so for sure also you need quite some talent and hard work to be able to do that.
But still not fast enough to make it to the Tour de France. But that maybe is a topic for another
That's not up to me to talk about
day. Well, Edward, thank you very much for your
it.
time. Have a really good
You're
over the
welcome.
weekend. I hope the team do well.
Spectacular
Maybe
diagnostics,
pick up a win. But thank you very much.
We'll do our best. Thanks for having me.
Full kumite, accumulate pace. First razor blade for the gate. We move from weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change. Flight delayed like haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves on, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall. To Paul Kane, but brought a broad brain with all game, you small change. You do like a solid grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Nag Daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like, pinship and fossilize the amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I bite the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Anthony Yoda Palace, we go to some blowing hazy circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the peel off without watching his body fall. Pony ass and the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone, skull and bone, heron bone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo, chop the rock, 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at, you know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.